Genesis 18, 1 to 15.
The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favour in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so that you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to the servant, who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh."
Please keep your Bibles open there at Genesis chapter 18. Let's pray. Father God, as we approach Genesis 18 now and reflect on your faithfulness, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray that you would guide my words now and that we might all learn more about you. Lord, have your Spirit work amongst us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christian organization Open Doors once shared a story of a rebel fighter. For years, this rebel fighter was known as one of the fiercest in Colombia. With a gun in his hand and anger in his heart, he made Christians his main target. He terrorized churches, scattered believers, and thought he was untouchable. He was a modern-day Saul. To the local church, his name brought fear. Then came the day when soldiers closed in on his camp and set off an incredibly big bomb. The explosion was so big that it shook the ground and tore into the jungle. No one, neither the army nor his own comrades, believed that he would still be alive. And when there was no body found, everybody assumed that he was dead. News spread quickly. People were actually quite excited that this rebel has killed. And for Christians, there was a great sense of relief. But the truth was very different. He wasn't dead. The force of the blast had actually picked him up and thrown him through the air 300 meters like a human cannonball. Bruised, broken, and bleeding, he lay there helpless. But that's when a Christian married couple came along and saw him lying there. Now, they could have walked away. They could have thought, "This man is the one who's been hurting, persecuting, attacking my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ." But instead, they took him into their home. They cleaned his wounds. They fed him. They cared for him day after day until his strength slowly returned. While he recovered, they gave him something else, a Bible. In the quiet of that little house, as he read the pages and listened to the quiet faith of this Christian couple, He encountered a love that he had never known before, the love of Jesus. And just weeks after being injured, this hardened rebel fighter made the most unexpected choice. The man who had spent his life fighting against Christians gave his heart to Jesus and became one of his followers. What seemed utterly impossible, his survival after being thrown 300 meters, and even more than that, his salvation, God made possible. I'm sure that we've all tried to share the good news of Jesus with a loved one or with a friend or family member, only to have that news fall on deaf ears, or at least it might feel like that to us. We may have shared a Bible verse with them. We may have shared our testimony. We may have prayed for them for many, many years. And we may have done our best to provide them with good answers to their objections. But nothing seems to have changed. And that can make us feel frustrated, disappointed, and it can sometimes even break our hearts. It can make the idea of that person coming to saving faith seem impossible. And the truth is, it is impossible for us. As John chapter 6, verse 44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them near, and I will raise them up on the last day." None of us would believe in the good news of Jesus if it was up to us. We'd be just living however we wanted to live. Unless God the Father drew us near, we would not have the hope that we have. We serve the God who makes the impossible possible. As Matthew 19:26 that I read at the beginning of our service says, with man, our salvation is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We serve the God who can do what seems impossible. We follow him because his Holy Spirit has given us faith. And so if you have faith in Jesus, your life is living proof that God makes the impossible possible. And so we should never limit what we think God can do in our lives or in the lives of those around us. So let's get into today's passage. In verses 1 to 8, we see that God shows up in unexpected ways. Now, the events of today's passage mustn't have happened very long after God had given Abraham the covenant of circumcision in chapter 17. Because at this point, Sarah still has no idea that she's pregnant or that she soon will be pregnant. And from out of nowhere, God shows up unexpectedly. And then he reminds Sarah and Abraham of his promise. Abraham and Sarah were sheltering from the hottest part of the day in their tent, when all of a sudden, Abraham saw three men standing just outside the door of the tent, which must have seemed pretty strange. No one goes out at that time of the day. It's just too hot. Now, we aren't told what these men were wearing or how they dressed, but somehow Abraham seems to have known that these men were important. And so he rushed out and greeted them and bowed down before them and said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by." Then he invited them in to share some refreshments, which was customary at the time, and the men agreed. Now, if you look in your Bibles at verse 3, you'll notice that Abraham, when he refers to them as Lord, you'll notice that that's in a lowercase L. It isn't a capital letter. And that's because at this stage, Abraham still doesn't know that he's speaking to God. When Abraham calls them Lord, he's merely using a term of respect to these important guests. Now, the presence of three men has led some to assume that we're looking at the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. But it's much more likely that these three men were made up of the angel of the Lord, which is thought to be Jesus before he was born as a man, and two angels who had gone along with him. Because later in these verses, we see that only one of these men is being referred to as God, or the other to listen on. But even at this stage, Abraham knew there was something important about these men. And we see that in the way that he lavishes hospitality upon them. In verse 6, you'll read, Abraham says, "Quick, get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake bread." Now, to put that into terms that we understand, that was around 22 litres, or if you want to think in old terms, 6 gallons of flour. That is a lot of bread. Then Abraham ordered that a calf be butchered and cooked and brought out for them, along with milk for them to drink. This was the kind of meal that you would serve an important dignitary or king. This was the kind of meal that you would usually want to have a rest after, not just a snack. This was the kind of meal that was like a Christmas lunch. And so Abraham, as he shared this meal and watched the men enjoy the meal under the trees of Mamre, one must have wondered who they might be. Abraham was not expecting these men to arrive. And by this point, he still doesn't know who they are. Yet somehow he knew they were important, even though he had no idea why they had come. These unexpected guests had arrived in a fairly normal way. They were just on foot near the entrance to the tent. But they'd come completely out of the blue, nowhere no one expected them. But isn't that how God often works in our lives? He often works through the ordinary circumstances of our lives to bring about the extraordinary. Because even though we know that God is the God of the impossible, somehow when he does show up in the ordinary, it's unexpected to us. And if we aren't looking out for the ways that God is working, we can so easily miss what he's doing in our lives and the lives of those around us. It might not be as dramatic as incredible signs and wonders, but that shouldn't surprise us, because the salvation that we have received through faith came from Jesus in the most unexpected way. He came looking like the humble son of a carpenter, born in a manger in a stable, rather than a powerful king in an incredible castle. God works through the ordinary circumstances of our lives to do the most extraordinary things, because the God we serve is the God who makes the impossible possible and who so often shows up in unexpected ways. In verses 9 to 15, we see that God's promises stand up against all odds. After Abraham's guests had finished their meal, they asked Abraham where Sarah was, which would have caused Abraham to wonder how these guests knew that her name was Sarah, because it was only just in the last chapter that God had changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. Abraham was starting to realize who he was talking to. In verse 10, we read, "The Lord," with a capital L, to show that God is the one who's speaking, and that Abraham was starting to understand who he was speaking to. "The Lord said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son.'" Now, while the Lord was saying these words, Sarah was listening in to their conversation from the entrance to the tent. And when she heard those words, that she would have a child in her old age, the thought of it seemed impossible, so unrealistic that it caused her to laugh out loud. And so she said to herself, after I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Something that struck me as I studied these passages was just how impossible that must have felt. By this point, Sarah was now in her 90s. She would have gone through menopause many, many years earlier. And humanly speaking, this was completely impossible for Sarah to have a child. And so it isn't surprising that she's reacting in this way. In fact, when God said very similar words to Abraham in chapter 17, verse 17, he also laughed. Because what God was saying seemed unbelievable, so impossible that a man who was 100 years old could father a child. But while it seems difficult to believe that a 100-year-old man could father a child, it seems so much harder for a woman in her 90s to give birth to a child. What God had promised to do for Abraham was utterly impossible from a medical and scientific perspective. But nothing is impossible for God. The Lord asked Abraham why Sarah had laughed. And he did this because God had no doubt at all that he was going to make good on his word. There wasn't any question in his mind whether he could do it, because he is the God of the impossible. And so God said, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." When Sarah was questioned about why she'd laughed, she lied to cover it up because she was afraid. But the Lord God knows our innermost thoughts. There's no use in trying to hide from him. And so he said, "Yes, you did laugh." Abraham had laughed in chapter 17 because he thought what God was promising seemed impossible. Sarah laughed in this chapter, chapter 18, because she thought that God's promise seemed unbelievable. But in the end, it was God who had the last laugh, because just at the appointed time, God's promise stood up against all odds. And the following year, Sarah gave birth to a son. And the name that God gave that child was Isaac, which means laughter. Today's passage is reminding those who trust in the Lord that we serve the God of the impossible. What looks impossible to us is an opportunity for God to show his power and authority over all things, even things that we think cannot or will not happen. As those who believe that God is in sovereign control of all things, we can sometimes get confused between submitting our will to his with having faith to believe that God can and often does do, as Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. We can sometimes use the biblical truth that what we pray for is only going to happen if it's the Lord's will as a cop-out, rather than trusting that God can do and often does do immeasurably more than what we think is likely or even possible. James 4, verse 3 challenges us all. You want something, but don't get it. You kill, you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. God wants to give us the delights of our hearts, but he wants our hearts first. And he wants our hearts first so that he can not only give us the desires of our hearts, but that he can do what is ultimately eternally best for us. See, God's power is revealed most clearly through human weakness. When we are trusting in him, looking to him for what we cannot do on our own, that is when we are strongest in our walk with the Lord. And that is when his power is most powerfully displayed through us. And so we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to feel like getting our loved ones and friends to trust in Jesus is up to us. We don't need to give in to fear when our circumstances seem too much for us, because we serve the God who turns the impossible into the possible, and nothing is too hard for him. Because we're talking about the God who brought the hope of our salvation into this world through the most unexpected promise. And yet Abraham, by faith, trusted in that promise. And God's promises stood up against all odds. God fulfilled those promises hundreds and hundreds of years later through his greatest descendant, Jesus, who was unexpectedly born in a stable in Bethlehem. You know that Jesus lived a life of suffering, hardship, and rejection. He experienced an unjust death on our behalf. And yet, against all odds, God brought salvation for all who trust in his impossible resurrection. When God achieved the greatest victory in all of the universe, by faith we follow him. We serve the God of the impossible. And that should give us the confidence to keep praying for our friends and our loved ones to come to the Lord, even when we can't see any change in their lives. It should give us the confidence to share the hope we have in Christ Jesus, even if we don't feel like we are very good with words. And it should give us the confidence to trust God with our circumstances, because even though we are weak and many things are too hard for us, we serve the God of the impossible. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for God. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that sometimes we can feel like things are impossible, like our situation is so far beyond us. And Lord, sometimes we even feel like our circumstances, you're not hearing them or not wanting to answer the way that we want. Lord, we all have friends and loved ones that we've prayed for a long time. Lord, help us not to give up on praying for them, not to give up on your power and your ability to bring them to yourself. Help us, Lord, to pray boldly in ways that we can't even see how you would answer, trusting that you will do what is best for us and that you are the God who is able to turn the impossible into the possible. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.